welcome to Work at Home Success, where you're going to get everything, the tips, the tools, the resources, and the know-how to create the work at home career of your dreams. I'm Leslie Truex, also known as the Pajama Mama, and I'm the author of the Work at Home Success Bible and the owner of workathomesuccess.com, a free resource packed with work at home information. You can learn more about the book and the site by visiting www.workathomesuccess.com. Hi, this is Leslie, and welcome to the Work at Home Success Podcast. I'm so glad that you're with me today. I've got a great interview lined up for you. Really excited to share it. Before I get on to that, I do have a couple of things I just want to mention, and that is, you know, big reminder to check out workathomesuccess.com if you have not been there. Lots of great new content is going up. I've got Tuesday tips. I've got some videos that I've been putting up, and all sorts of scam alerts. Of course, the jobs go up every weekday. So if you haven't been there in a while, you know, not only is this podcast a great resource for working at home, but the site also, we've got some what we would call evergreen resources that are there all the time that give you general information about working at home, how to find a job, how to start a business, all those types of things. But then also there's new content going up all the time that talks about things that you should watch out for, scams that are out there that you might be getting in your email, new things to look for in working at home. So I really try to make it not only a great resource for all that general information you need, but also a great resource for new things that are coming along in working at home. So please be sure to check it out. The other thing I wanted to mention is it just dawned on me, although that might not be the best way to place it. I know Thanksgiving is coming, but all of a sudden it really occurred to me, oh my gosh, Thanksgiving is coming, which means the holidays are here, and it also means the end of the year is coming. And it seems to me like it was just the other day it was summer. So it seems like this fall has gone really quickly. And I'm not sure where all the time went, but with fall, after the fall comes the holidays, and then it's the new year. And January is Work at Home Success's birthday. And in this January 2012, Work at Home Success will be 14 years old, which it's a teenager now. And it's gone through a lot of changes, and every new year I try to introduce something new or something different. So I've got a lot of great things that I'm sort of thinking about and coming up with to celebrate the birthday that also will be of benefit to you. So you're going to want to watch for information about what that's going to be. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but almost always I have something to help you jumpstart the new year in terms of getting your own work at home journey up and going again, because I know a lot of times at the end of the year things slow down on that because you're so busy with holidays. And I'm also looking at doing a revamp of the site again. Throughout the years the site has had many changes, but again, just trying to create a site that's easy for people to use and navigate, that of course looks very professional. So I've been looking at some ways to change the site to do that, meet those needs. So just, you know, stay tuned over the next couple of weeks, and I'm planning to have some giveaways, some really great resources to jumpstart your work at home success journey in the new year, and I don't want you to miss out. So do stay tuned. Well, that is it for announcements. Let's go ahead and get on with our interview. Jan Mercandani is the principal and creative engine behind Marketing Cafe, formerly Mercandani Consulting. She's an award-winning designer specializing in helping small and mid-sized businesses and nonprofits in Westchester and outlying areas to understand and leverage online marketing tactics and tools. Via Marketing Cafe's e-marketing bootcamp series, she leads in-person and online workshop that teaches how to develop a soup-to-nuts online marketing strategy for business growth. Through a robust network of business partners, Marketing Cafe also provides simple yet sophisticated online marketing solutions, and you can learn more at westchestermarketingcafe.com. Jan, thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Oh, thanks, Leslie, for having me. I appreciate it.
I always like to start the show with, how did you get started working from home?
Well, I used to be in the corporate world, and I used to work in finance down in Manhattan in New York. And my company was going through a merger, as you know, so often happens, particularly in that industry. And I was pregnant with my oldest child at the time, so it was kind of a perfect storm of opportunity is how I like to look at it. And so I was given a severance package, and my previous employer ended up being my first client. So I left the corporate world. I started my own business. I knew, you know, with a child on the way, I really didn't want to deal with a commute anymore. I was commuting 45 minutes each way to work. So I just knew that wasn't really going to be practical for me. So I looked at how I might start working from home and doing some consulting, doing the same kinds of things that I was doing, and start my own business. So that was kind of how it all happened.
So when you started your business, was it finance, or did you work in marketing at this finance company you did before?
I was in marketing in the financial services industry. So I kind of took, you know, way back when, I mean, we're going back 12 years now, and, you know, back then I was really taking what I was already doing in marketing production for a financial services company. I had worked at a number of other companies doing similar work and was really building my business around that same kind of work and building the production infrastructure, and just really over time have really segued away from big businesses to working really exclusively with small businesses and regional nonprofits, and you know, taking the stuff that I've learned along the way and really focusing on online marketing. So, I mean, it's just been a continuous learning curve, you know, with technology and marketing techniques and strategies and so forth, and really taking those techniques that I've learned in the corporate world and just educating myself with online marketing techniques and leveraging those for small business clients.
Yeah, because 12 years ago, the internet wasn't like it is today.
It was 2 years ago. It wasn't like it is today.
But 12 years ago.
So 12 years ago, it was really, you know, really, I don't want to say in its infancy, but it was certainly, you know, vastly different than what it is now. And so, you know,
there was no Twitter. There was no LinkedIn.
None of the social media wasn't even around yet. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely changed a lot, and that's, you know, and that's part of what I've, you know, had to do is really keep up with that and stay on top of all of those changes. So, I mean, it's definitely continuing education all the time. It never, you know, that never goes away. And, you know, that's part of what makes it exciting. It's also what makes it a little bit nerve wracking for other small businesses. And that's, you know, where I really feel like Marketing Cafe can help in really, you know, leveraging those, you know, kind of simple but intimidating tools to help them market their business.
Well, that is one of the challenges, isn't it? Because, you know, when Twitter came along, you know, who would have thought it could be used for business? And now you sort of have to tweet or, you know, Facebook, the same
right thing.
And I'm always sort of at the back end of that. I don't come in at the beginning.
Right,
I'm not
right.
Laughing, but I'm always kind of in the middle. You know,
right, right.
No, this well, is going to time, is it really going to help me, you know? And then, you know, sort of seeing other people and how they're using it, I'm like, well, okay, I guess I better go do that.
Right. And I think that's, you know, I think that's what, you know, a lot of small businesses are doing. You know, I mean, obviously I try to be, you know, one of the early adopters so that I can really try it out myself before I start to, you know, market it and work with my clients using any of these tools. But I think most, you know, most small businesses definitely don't skew towards early adopters. They tend to be kind of more, you know, midstream or even late adopters. And, you know, I think that can be a real mistake, because what ends up happening is, you know, if you come in too late, then you know, you're almost seen as kind of antiquated, and you're kind of always playing catch up. Whereas, you know, if you can start to just play around and not be as intimidated by these tools, then, you know, these are the tools that are really leveling the playing field for small businesses, because, you know, we're smaller. We're definitely, you know, we can, you know, adapt and adjust much more quickly than, you know, an IBM or PepsiCo. So, you know, to take advantage of those opportunities and say, you know what, I'm going to try doing a Facebook contest. And you know what, first time out, maybe it didn't get the same results that we were looking for, but we've tried, and next time we do it, we can adjust and we can change it around. I don't have to go through five layers of approval process and get legal involved. And you know what? I can come up with an idea and run with it and kind of see how it goes and adjust on the fly. And that's really the exciting part of social media, but really all of the opportunities available online now.
Now maybe you could talk a little bit about exactly what it is you do. I mean, is it just consulting? Do you go in and set them up and they're on their own? Or are you one of those people that tweet for others? Or, you know, what is it that you do?
It really depends on what the client needs. For some of my larger client, I say larger, but we're still talking, under 100 employees. I mean, these are all small businesses, but a lot of them, they've already had a website done, or maybe they've tried to do it themselves, and they're saying, you know what, we really need to just kind of get the infrastructure built out in a way that we can manage it ourselves. So in that case, I'll come in and I'll help them develop their website, do soup to nuts, do the development for them, do the coding for them, and then at the end of the project, they have a content management system. I happen to be a huge fan of WordPress. Probably a lot of your audience are familiar with WordPress. It started life sort of as a blogging system, and you talked about, how the internet has changed. WordPress is a prime example of that. It started life as a blogging system, but it's a great way for businesses really of any size to develop a content management that they can have even non-technical employees or non-technical volunteers in the case of nonprofits come in and update the website so that they're not spending money every month to have a designer or a programmer make simple changes that they really could and should be doing in-house. So that's one thing that I do for my clients. But it might be something, maybe they don't have the budget for a soup to nuts project. Maybe they just need some help kind of developing a strategy and understanding, what are realistic goals for my website? What are some of the things that I need to consider in how I'm building it and how I'm maintaining it, and how am I evaluating my website? Where does my social media strategy come in? How can I leverage, a MailChimp or a Constant Contact to stay in touch with my consumer base? And so we really will run the gamut from, the training and the consulting to, actual implementation. I don't do social media tweet. I don't tweet for my clients. I don't do Facebook posts for my clients. That's one thing that I really encourage clients to do for themselves, because social media is obviously social, and the tone and the tenor that you're using for your posts and your status updates and so forth is really, really important. It needs to be genuine. So unless you've been working with, maybe a PR company, or you have somebody that you've been working with on your marketing for a long time that really gets your organization and really gets you in the tone that would be true and genuine, I think you're really better off maintaining and doing that yourself.
That's why I answer my own email still.
Yeah, it definitely can be a time sink, and that's one thing that, anybody who's run a business from their home or run a business period, it's really about the discipline and, not getting sucked into, let me go onto my Facebook page to post that, I'm going to be at a networking event, or I'm going to be at a business expo or whatever, and, oh, look, Susie's posted new pictures of her kids. Isn't that cute?
Right.
you can definitely, fall down the rabbit hole very easily with social media. So as with most things, when it comes to running your own business, it's about, having a strategy in place, and it's about discipline.
Right, exactly. So it sounds like your business, well, it has your area's name on it, Westchester. So do you focus
right
on your local market a lot, or is that how you get started?
Well, that was how I got started. I mean, I've had clients as far away as Utah. I have a number of clients I've actually never met face-to-face. I don't find that's ideal, to be honest with you. I think doing what I do, a lot of people have gotten burned. A lot of people have you know, worked with programmers or developers that, you know, seemed like a budget, you know, a budget idea at the time, but then they end up getting locked in to something that they're not happy with. So most of my clients are from the Westchester, New York area. I, you know, like to have regular either phone calls or face-to-face meetings while we're developing a website, just because it just seems to kind of keep things moving, and it keeps everybody accountable, myself included. So, you know, that's a big factor when you're working virtually. You know, it's really easy to put things off and to, you know, kind of lose that accountability factor. And, you know, the bottom line is too, you know, a lot of my business comes by way of referrals. So, you know, obviously living and working and networking here in Westchester County, it just is natural that most of my clients are nearby.
So when you got started, though, I mean, how do you go out and reach your market? I'm thinking of people on the call listening and, like, you know, I'd like to do a service business or a business-to-business type service.
Right.
How do I go out and get somebody local to hire me?
Well, that's always the tough one, isn't it? I do a lot of networking. I do a lot of, you know, which, you know, gets into the, you know, the whole idea of, you know, how do you manage your time and, you know, what are your hours when you're working for yourself and you're working from home. I do a lot of business networking events in the evening. I do direct sales, you know, so even though I'm an online marketer, I still, you know, go old school and I, you know, mail things to other chamber members and, you know, I do solicit business that way. But the vast majority of my clients come to me through referrals. So, you know, working your existing network is always a good idea. Asking for referrals. It kind of sounds, you know, sometimes it's kind of like, really? You know, people don't even think to do that. But, you know, when you're working with somebody already, chances are they know somebody who could also benefit from your services. So, you know, not being shy to say, hey, you know what? Do you have somebody who you think I should call? And leveraging social media, you know, looking at your contacts and saying, well, you know what? I know that I've worked successfully with, you know, other nonprofits. So let me go on to LinkedIn and see who my nonprofit connections are connected with. And maybe there's a, you know, there's a prospect there that makes sense for me to reach out to or ask for an introduction, something like that. So, you know, it's definitely an active process.
Now, in this economy, are nonprofits still a good source of business for you, or?
They can be. You know, one of the things that I really enjoy doing with nonprofits as well as my for-profit clients is being able to offer them a really, you know, a longer-term cost-saving solution, which is, you know, offering them the content management system so that they can maintain in-house and they're not shelling out money every month. You know, like I was saying before, I mean, sometimes you get locked into these deals that seem like, well, you know what, it's cheap up front, but then there's those residuals every month. Well, you know what? We have this event coming up, so now I've got to pay the programmer to update that for us. Or, you know, we've got a membership drive, so now I need to, you know, hire somebody to, you know, set up a PayPal button or something like that. So, you know, the money's definitely tight all around. And that's where sometimes it might be maybe not a huge overhaul on the website. Maybe it's just, you know, more of a strategic development or, you know, developing specific tactics that they want to implement. And that's where it gets, you know, for any business owner is, you know, kind of thinking beyond what is the, you know, your primary service or product that you offer and thinking, well, you know what, how can I make it more accessible for, you know, various levels of clients so that it's not an all-or-nothing proposition.
Now, since you do provide business-to-business services, are you able to have flexible hours or are you pretty much on 9-to-5 like they are?
I do try to stick to a 9-to-5 schedule. You know, obviously working for yourself, that's supposed to be the one big, you know, benefit, and my hours are flexible. I know, you know, if I have, you know, something going on at school, I know I can make myself available. I don't book a client meeting at that time. But I do really try to stick to a 9-to-5 schedule because that's when my clients are working and that's when my prospects are working. So if I'm not available during those hours, you know, they're going to pick up the phone, they're going to call me, and when they don't get me, they're going to call somebody else.
That's always a concern, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
And, of course, if you work with somebody in Utah, their 9-to-5 is different than your 9-to-5.
Exactly.
I mean, their 9-to-5 is like your 11-to-7 or something.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I mean, there's, you know, there is that. I mean, you know, I do try to stick to a regular work day here at my office, but I know, again, you know, there's certainly been nights when, well, you know what, I took the morning off because there was a concert at school or something. But I know that if I'm taking that morning off, then maybe I'm going to end up working my, you know, my third shift, you know, 9 to 11 or something after, you know, the kids are done with dinner and, you know, the kids are, you know, in bed or, you know, whatever. So you need to make up those hours somewhere else. So I think that's a, you know, important thing to remember.
Do you think a service business is probably less flexible than other types of, like if you sold a product or internet-based business or something?
You know, I think it depends. I think, you know, I think all businesses need to be really responsive these days. I mean, when if somebody's sending you an email and, you know, you're not getting back to them, you know, there's a 24-hour cycle before you get back to them, people get frustrated with that. I mean, fortunately or unfortunately, in a society that everything is so accessible and we all kind of want that instant response. So, you know, definitely, I think, especially with service businesses, you need to be aware of, you know, a shorter response time, and get back to prospects and clients in a timely way. So, yeah, I think that there is definitely that aspect. But, you know, I think the flip side of that is I do try to be disciplined and not set myself up for unrealistic expectations on the part of my clients. So that if a client is emailing me at 11 o'clock, I'm not going to answer them at 11 o'clock. I'm going to answer them the next morning. So that, you know, that they're not expecting 24-hour service either. So, you know, it's a little bit of a dance sometimes.
Well, that's just it. If you're going to be responsive, you'd almost be working 24/7 unless you hire somebody to take the night shift.
Well, and that's it. I mean, so you do have to. I mean, I know when I first started, there was definitely that impulse to, oh my gosh, you know, here's somebody who's emailing me. They're interested in my services, and there was like that real knee jerk reaction to respond right away. And I've really had to train myself to respond in a timely way, but to realize that it doesn't have to be, you know, 11 o'clock at night. That, you know, if I want to have a regular work day and I want to not drive myself crazy, then I need to set up those expectations on the part of my clients so that they're not expecting me to answer, you know, whenever they think to send me an email.
So if you're working sort of a set schedule, how do you do that with your kids around?
Yeah. when they were smaller, you know, I think in hindsight I definitely would have done it differently. I would have had them in daycare probably earlier. My daughter never went to daycare. She was home with me full time until she started kindergarten. My son I did put in preschool, so he's 2 years younger than my daughter. When they're little like that, I'll tell you honestly, I didn't do as much work. I was really working part-time at that point because it just wasn't realistic. You know, now that they're in school, it's definitely easier, but I need to be still very disciplined because it's not an 8-hour work day. You know, the kids are on the bus. My son gets on the bus at 8 o'clock. You know, he gets on after my daughter, but then she's home by 2:30. So it's very much a compressed work day. But they are older now, so that when they come home, you know, they're used to me working. So they know that I can't, you know, immediately just drop everything and focus my attention on them. But they're doing their homework, they're having a snack, I can take a break and, you know, check in with them and see how their day went. So, you know, it is a little bit about discipline. I think when the kids are really young, it makes sense to think about maybe you know, making a daycare arrangement, whether it's putting them in daycare or having somebody come in, you know, mother's helper kind of thing, or an au pair to come in to take care of the children, because it's not really realistic to expect that you're going to have a productive day when, you know, you have a toddler, you know, who needs your attention every, you know, every 5 minutes.
And, of course, that's one of the challenges, because, you know, I remember those days I had little kids. And
yeah.
They went to preschool. I, you mm-hmm. know, and I, those 3 hours, I got so much done in three
right.
hours. I can't believe it. And, but you would feel guilty sometimes, or I would feel guilty sometimes, you know, especially during the summer when they're out of school. And
yeah.
They're not necessarily doing anything. I used to set it up where the kids would have a project they would work on.
Right.
Over the summer. Care what it was, as long as they had something, you know, mm-hmm. besides the TV.
Right.
And, you know, but still wanting to get them to the pool, because that was the whole reason I was home.
Right.
And so it's really a challenge to sort of balance that, not just the doing it, but the, you know, sort of the guilt of not working or the guilt
right.
of not being with the kids.
Well, I think that's something that women probably suffer from more than men. But I think that is something that is very common, is, you know, you kind of feel guilty either way, because if when you're with the kids, you feel guilty because you're not working, and when you're working, you're feeling guilty because you're not with your kids. And it is a little bit of, you know, you have to realize, you know, well, what is my priority, and what is my priority right now for this hour? You know, maybe you do take an hour off. You know, if you've got kids at home and you have an au pair, well, you know, you take your lunch hour and you spend time with the kids. And so it's a lot of trial and error to figure out what works for you, what's comfortable for you, and to also realize that that is going to continually change. You know, I know that, you know, I'm going to be slower in, you know, end of August, September, October, when the kids are really busy in sports, because I just, bottom line, I don't get to as many networking events. I'm not doing as much marketing and as much selling as I do the rest of the year, because my kids' schedule is really busy that time of year. And that's something that I'm okay with. I just realized that, you know, just like every other business, you know, there are ebbs and flows, and you kind of get adjusted to that fact. And, you know, if that's what works, and that's kind of how you structure your business.
And it is trial and error, and it does change, because obviously when they're little, like you said, it's much harder. But, you know, some people think, well, when they're in school, it'll be easier, and that's not necessarily true. Working, and I'm not
right.
even talking working at home, you
right.
know. I mean, it
yeah.
seems like, you know, they always say, well, the older they get, the easier it is. And I'm like, my kids are both in high school now.
Yeah.
So it's still constant, you know, wanting to be on. Now we're looking at college,
right.
so we're on
yeah.
college. What's going on with that, and what schools are we going to look at, and have you taken this test, and
right.
you know, did the guidance counselor get you in the right classes, and
yep.
you know, maybe you should get a job, because that would look good on your resume.
Right, right, and there's always something, and that's, you know, that you're exactly right, because, you know, sometimes it's easier when they're little, because, you know, they are really, you know, they're so innocent, and you know, you can get them engaged in activity, and there's a lot more little interruptions. But, you know, when they get older, those interruptions become like all of a sudden your day just implodes, because, you know what, you had a client meeting scheduled and it's a snow day now, or, you know, you have a big presentation and, you know what, Johnny wakes up with a cough. So, You know, you talk about the guilt too. Well, you know, how sick are you really? Do you really need to stay home? You know, the fever broke at, you know, 11:59. Can I maybe squeeze, you know, sneak you into school? So there are a lot of those kind of really rock your world days where, you know, oh my God, now what do I do?
It's funny you say that, you know, because my kids are old enough, I'd probably be like, well, you're going to be home by yourself for an hour.
Right. If you got to get
and
sick,
you
here's
that,
the bin.
Yeah. So I do remember those. But I also have had it happen where my husband's like, you know, well, I'll stay home. And I'm like, yeah, but you have, you know, he has the job that has the health insurance and
right.
all that, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm
yep.
home. And it's not that my work is any less important, but those reasons are why I work at home. To stay
right.
But he's sort of like, well, I'll do it. And I'm like, okay, that's great.
Well, there are those, and that's another thing that, we hadn't even talked about is, how do you reconcile, what's your real job? Over the past 12 years, it's definitely shifted. It kind of started out where, my primary job really was, bottom line, taking care of my children. And then, then the kids started school and I was focusing more on really developing my business and bringing in, actively marketing and bringing in new clients and new accounts. And, now I'm really working full time and still caring for the kids. So it definitely has evolved where, maybe my husband does need to take a day off because I am doing something. I have a client meeting or I'm doing a presentation or, whatever it might be. And so there, again, it's a constant evolution. So every time, you kind of figure, hey, I got this wired for sound. Well, yeah, no, you don't. It's going to change. So, but that's, I think that's any business. I think whether you, have your own business that you're running from your home or whether you have a brick and mortar shop that, you go to every day, that's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, but there is something, I think, particularly women who work at home, there is sort of this idea, though, that the business you're running may not be as important. Maybe right. Not in your case, because you are business to business. You were working with other businesses. But I know there's a lot of attitude. I mean, there's a lot of backlash, particularly to, like, women bloggers. And, when I was growing up, there's a lot of women that did direct sales. And they were just sort of these little mommy businesses they did on the side. What did she do? Oh, she just took in kids.
Yeah. It's kind of an attitude. It is. And that's, and I have, I actually have a number of other women business owners that I meet with once a month. And we sort of have formed an ad hoc advisory board for each other, which has been hugely helpful over the last couple of years. But we talk about that and we say, there is a little bit of an attitude that we kind of have to push back against. Sometimes it's our spouses, sometimes it's other, businesses or whatever it might be that, isn't that cute? You get a little business. How adorable. And, so you do kind of have to be prepared for that. And, I've kind of gotten over being defensive about it. I kind of feel like, I have a track record to stand on now, which, when you're starting out, you don't really have. And so it's definitely been a growth process. I think, getting over the whole idea of, it's a hobby. And, and that's particularly difficult when you are just starting out because you don't necessarily have that track record. You don't necessarily have a revenue stream that you can point to say, this is legitimate what I'm doing and it needs to be taken seriously. So it's really a matter of kind of getting that into your own head and taking it seriously yourself. And if you can get to the point where, you are keeping regular hours, whatever those regular hours might be for you and for your business, but to take it seriously, because if you're kind of in the, even if it's subconsciously kind of treating it as a, as a hobby, then other people will definitely see it that way as well.
Well, and of course, the other side of that is I've heard stories of people, women, mothers, mm-hmm. having a service business, but they do sort of flake off on their clients when the child is sick or it's late and they're tired or whatever. And so, the other side of that is if you want to be treated as a professional, then you absolutely have to be professional.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, it's funny. It's especially doing what I do when there's a lot of freelancers out there as well as other businesses and, PR and marketing firms and programming companies. And, so there's a lot of competition in different, in different niches that I face and, kind of getting over an attitude of, am I a freelancer because I'm a solopreneur? Am I a freelancer? Am I a solopreneur? Am I a business? Am I a firm? Because I do call in other professionals depending on the scope of a project. So, you kind of have to decide for yourself. It's a little bit like trying on different clothes and saying, what really feels good and what feels comfortable for me and what feels right. Maybe you are comfortable identifying as a freelancer and taking you know, projects, you know, obviously in a service industry I'm talking now, you know, maybe you are comfortable identifying as a freelancer and just taking, you know, specific projects as it works for you. You know, but maybe you, you know, really do have a vision of, you know what, in 5 years' time, I'd like to have a couple of people working with me, or maybe I would like to grow to the point where I have a brick and mortar shop somewhere. You know, it's really, you know, again, taking it seriously, really thinking about what you want, and getting, developing a plan to get there.
There's sort of a mindset change that I guess that has to take place. If you're a woman wanting to be home with your kids and that's why you're working at home,
right?
There is sort of that shift you have to make, like, okay, I'm working here.
Right.
And so it's not just about the kids.
Yeah.
You know, that you need to still produce something.
Right.
Thinking of it that way, and that it is something that could grow as your kids grow.
Right, right.
Now instead of having this little mommy business on the side,
right,
that you actually can have something, you know, else that you've created that's grown and gotten bigger just like your kids.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, and it's, you know, and it's going to be an evolution as well. I mean, I am not even remotely the same person that started the business 12 years ago because, you know, I kind of, you know, I had this vision of what I wanted originally and, you know, my gosh, I've changed the name of the business. I've changed the focus of the business several times, you know, to adapt to what I saw as, you know, an evolving need. So, you know, having that flexibility, but also, you know, also realizing that to some extent you do need to compartmentalize. And I think women don't do that as well as men. You know, men can go to the office and focus on, okay, now I'm at the office and, you know, when I get home, you know, I'll see how Janie's feeling because I know Janie was sick when I left this morning. Women can't really do that as well, I don't think. We really have to train ourselves to say, okay, well, you know what, from, you know what, maybe it's 9 to 10 or 9 to 11 in the morning when, you know, the kids are at preschool or, you know, we still have half-day kindergarten where I am. So that was always interesting where, you know, you've only got 2 hours or 3 hours in the morning. Those are my work hours, so I have to get my work done in that time and really focusing on the business during your business hours. Again, you know, whatever that means for you and for your business. And then when you're home with the kids, really focusing on the kids and not, you know, hearing that, you know, the siren call of your email or social media or your computer or whatever, you know, that you haven't gotten to during, you know, your business day.
Right. Or laundry.
Or laundry. Well, yeah, I'm pretty good at ignoring that stuff.
Actually,
that was never really an issue for me.
I am too. I had this vision when I first came home, though, that, you know, everything would be in its place, everything would be clean, the laundry would be kept up, there'd be no dust bunnies anywhere, you know, I'd get up and make a hot breakfast for my children every day, and, you know, that just didn't happen.
it didn't happen here either, so, but, you know, it is, you know, and again, it's adjusting your expectations as you really see what works. I mean, just like when you have a new baby, I mean, you know, we're really talking, obviously, about, you know, the whole work-life balancing, but, you know, I remember when I was pregnant with my daughter and I was like, you know what, I'm not even making plans for after she comes. I said, because I know that whatever plans I make are based on what I think now, and what I think now is, I know, not going to have any bearing on the reality. So, you know, life is so different after that child, and you have to adjust. And just like, you know, having a business, and it is in many ways like having another child. You know, it has needs when it's first new and, you know, you're adjusting to that. And then as it grows and as things change, you know, you have to change along with it. And, you know, I think that being able to adapt and being able to change your expectations, you know, as your work and as your life changes, is going to be really key to success.
That's a really good point.
And with that, we've come to our end point. And I just want to thank you so much because we covered a lot of great information today that I think listeners are really going to – some things good. For them to think about as they come home, but also some real specifics about, you know, if they want to provide a service. I think service businesses are a really great way to get started quickly and with little amount of money. So
absolutely, because you don't have a lot of overhead.
Right. So if you want to learn more about Jan, you can visit westchestermarketingcafe.com. And, of course, this link will be over at Work at Home Success along with the podcast information. So people, please go check her out. And thank you again so much for being on the show.
All right. Thanks, Leslie. I appreciate you having me.
Now we're on to the next steps to work at home success, where we take what we heard in the show and apply it so that you can start using it and be a work at home success yourself. There were a couple things that Jan mentioned that I wanted to highlight in the show. One of the first was the idea of a business changing and evolving. There's a lot of businesses, particularly if you're on the internet, that are going to change. Blogs weren't around many years ago. Now they're here and they're a big part of what we do. At some point, something new is going to be introduced and that is going to become the new thing. So it really becomes important to learn, stay on top of your business, of your industry, and do be one of the original peoples to look at trends and changes and ideas that are coming up so that you can be on top of them and be sort of the leader in your industry. It becomes really important that you're not going to just start a business and in 3, 4, 5 years that the business is going to look the same. It may look a lot the same, but there's going to be changes that is going to have required you to implement new things, whether it's new marketing strategies or actual making real difference, real changes in how you do business. The other thing that I wanted to mention was that while Jan is open to working with clients, you know, all over, that her focus really has been locally. And one of the things that when people want to start a business, and a lot of times when they're wanting to work online or work on the computer, they really do think globally. And of course, that has been one of the great things about the internet is that you can reach a large market. I know when I started working at home and the internet was not like it is today, one of the complaints that a lot of people had was that maybe they're in a small town and there just wasn't a lot of opportunity to grow a business in a small area. So the internet changed that. It allowed people in rural areas to be able to reach out. On the other hand, you don't absolutely have to do that. That if you want to have a small regional business, you should do that. And in fact, having a small regional business is a great way to start before you expand out into the world. So, you know, it doesn't have to be one or the other. You can use the internet to grow a local business. And in fact, many businesses do. It's highly encouraged that you do that. So don't think that you shouldn't be using your local market. Don't think, well, I'm just going to go on and reach anybody anywhere, because the local people, they're going to know you a little bit better probably anyway. They're going to be more likely to hire you and get you started. So it's a great resource, especially when you're starting up. Well, that is it for this week's show. I do hope you enjoyed it and found some value in it. I've got lots of great guests coming up. In fact, we're booked all the way into the new year. So I hope that you will continue to come back and listen to the Work at Home Success podcast for lots of great information about working at home. Until next time, this is Leslie Truex, also known as the Pajama Mama, wishing you peace, love, and pajamas.